Well, I guess I'm up here again. I like it, though. I think it's kind of fun. Well, hello there. Joe asked me about a month ago or so to do a lesson on Psalm chapter 68, and that was great, except for the part where I was going to be in Oklahoma, which was last week, by the way. So now I'm going to do Psalm chapter 69. But before I say any of that stuff for my lesson, let's read Psalm chapter 69. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and read along with me. And it's a bit of a long one, so bear with me here. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause. For those who seek to destroy me, I am forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me, God of Israel. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I am a foreigner to my own family and a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I sleep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love, in your great mercy turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and let their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted, and let there be no one to dwell in their tents. For they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than the bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. So, for those of you who only stood about 2% of that, because, you know, the Old Testament, and for those of you who, this is just a joke, and for those of you who stopped listening about halfway through, in the first part of this chapter, David is having issues. You know, he's like, Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck, in verse 1 and 2. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. Which is basically dramatic Old Testament language for I'm having a real rough time. He says in verse 11, when I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. And in verse 12, those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Which means people are not treating him very well. They're mocking him, calling him names, and just treating him like he's trash, like he's nothing, like he's just a waste of time and effort. Then he says things like in verses 24 and 25, pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. So he's basically like venting to God. He's saying, these people are terrible. All I do is laugh at and cheat other people. They don't deserve to live. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. He wants these guys gone. He doesn't want to have to deal with such ignorant, self-centered people. But then he says in verses 29 and 30, but as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. God, these guys are bad, horrible, selfish people, but may it be your decision to do something about them, not mine. I will trust in you, God, because what these guys say about me doesn't matter. What these guys think I should do doesn't matter. What matters is you, God. Have you ever seen somebody getting treated badly by someone for no good reason? Because I definitely have. For instance, there's been two different times this has happened in Ventura where I have seen a car broken down in the road. And people will pull up behind them and sit there waiting for them to go, even though they're obviously broken down and can't move. Then a whole 3 seconds would go by and their patience was up. And then they would honk at the broken down car and then drive around them. And I'm just sitting here like, their car is broken down and they can't move. They can't move the car. But you honk and get annoyed at them even though there's nothing they can do about it. Now what do you do in this situation? Do you say, man, that guy is an idiot. I like to see his car break down and then see what he does about it when I honk at him. Or you could say, I wonder if that guy needs help moving his car. Or I could say, I hope God helps that guy who honked. He's probably got more to deal with than I'll ever know. Rather than think about it in a way that curses the guy who is ignorant and impatient, or do something bad to him to show him what it's like, just see what you can do to help. And if saying a prayer about it is all you can do, that's what you do. What about being on the receiving end of somebody being mean to you? Like, for example, you're changing lanes in the road. Like I've said this before, you can apply driving to a lot of things in the Bible. You're changing lanes in the road, and you check your mirror. You don't see anyone, you know, in the lane behind you, so you start to steer over. And all of a sudden you hear honk, and you go back into your lane. Nothing happened. You didn't hit anyone else. You just got spooked, kind of, you know. And you look back, and it turns out there was a car in your blind spot. You didn't realize that. So, you know, everyone makes that mistake while driving. It just happens, you know. Nothing, but it's not that bad. But when you pull up to the next stoplight, the guy who honked at you pulls up beside you, and he's really angry. He starts saying things like, you're stupid, you should have checked your blind spot, you could have killed someone, when in reality, the guy has probably made that same mistake before. Everyone has. And, I mean, it doesn't mean it's, like, right or anything, but even if he hasn't done that exact thing, he's still only human. He has no right telling you that you're dumb just because you made a mistake. It's not like you meant to make a mistake. And you have every right to say all this stuff to this guy, to show him he's the one who's dumb. But that's not my job. My job is to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry that I scared you. I'll keep it in mind to always look before I change lanes in my car. And that's all you have to say. You don't have to show this guy he's being stupid because he's not being considerate. Or you don't have to show this guy. That is what I wrote down, isn't it? That's God's will, not mine. If that guy shows up to church, I'll show him the way of Christ just the same as everyone else. Because what that guy said to me at the stoplight is a thing of the past. It's done. Sure, he might have been ignorant. Sure, he might have been too harsh. But all I care about is what God wants me to do. I'll praise God even though these bad things happen. We'll get people being mean at stoplights or in line at Starbucks or whatever, just in life in general. We'll have to deal with these mean people and people not caring about you, and all they care about is what they have to say. We still have a God to believe in after all of this, a God who will take care of those people for us. So when bad things happen in our lives, we can say, may it not be my will, but yours, God, to deal with these people. You don't have to worry about what people say to you, how people degrade you, how people treat you like trash, because the rude, harmful things they say doesn't matter to me, because I know the only thing that matters is what God thinks of me. And if I act the way Jesus showed me to, and the way God tells me to, and I give up these people to him and what they say to him, I'll be right with God. And when people call me names, when they say I'm no good, when they say I'm not worth anything, I can be happy and still have peace, because the only thing that matters is God's love, and I know that he loves me. What about you? Are you that guy at the stoplight? Are you the one that is ignorant and selfish? Because I'll tell you right now, if you are, you kind of got to fix that. Because people don't realize that they don't have to say something to every person who messes something up, who doesn't see you on the road and who accidentally takes your spot in line at Subway or something. And when this stuff happens, if you say anything, do it out of love, rather than pulling up to a stoplight, rolling down your window, and cursing the guy who didn't see you, calling him an idiot and saying that he's stupid for not looking harder. You could just say, hey man, make sure to look over your shoulder before you change lanes, and you'll prevent things like that from happening, all right? Just be cool about it. You don't have to call him an idiot because you saw him make one mistake, and that's if you decide to say anything at all. I don't know about you guys, but most of the time, when I make a mistake, I know exactly what I did wrong. So just look at it as if it's not a big deal. If someone cuts you off in line, whenever you're waiting to get food or whatever, don't say, hey, you cut me off in line, get out of the way. You can just say, hey, excuse me, I was in line here. And if they say, oh, I'm sorry, just say, no problem, it was just a mistake. Because we all make mistakes. If you get angry over every single little mistake you ever see someone make, then you're going to be angry a lot. So remember God and what he says. If others around you say that you're a fool, and then they're only right if God would say the same thing. Let's say someone says you look weird in a derogatory way. They're insulting you, saying that your face is just doesn't look right. Would God say that about you? No. So don't even take it seriously. Don't think about other people's negative opinions about you unless they have to do with helping your life with God. Just realize that that person is just making a mistake. The person that's insulting you is just doesn't have the right idea, and they're just being a human like everyone else, just like all of us. At the end of the day, just pray for the person that did that to you and carry on, because God's words are the only words that really matter. People's opinions about you and your actions matter. And people's opinions about you and your actions matter, but only if they're constructive and make sense, only if they help build you up to become a better person in Jesus Christ, and they don't try to make you feel worse or beat you up or make you beat yourself up. Listen to what people say about you, but only keep what matters. Only remember the words of the people that tried to help and make you, and the people that tried to make you stronger. Only remember the words that help you with your life with Christ, because nothing else is more important. All right, please pray with me. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving me a chance, to trust you and realize and to know that you are our friend and that Jesus is our Redeemer. I want to thank you for this time that I get to speak, this time to tell others what I think about you and what you've done and what you're doing and what you will do for us. And God, I also want to lift up the people in this church right now that are struggling, that are going through a rough time trying to find out who you really are, or they're just dealing with physical just problems in their life. And if they, God, you are our friend, our companion. You're the great I am, and help us to realize that. You're here to help us with our lives and to make sure that we trust in you always. To Jesus' name I pray, amen. I was reading that. It wasn't very well written. Let's see.